phone, but Mother Valerie.
Blog Talk Radio.
Please mute your phone if you are not Mother Valerie.
Amen.
Such freedom I have found in you. You're the healer who makes all things new. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
We're not going back. We're moving ahead. Praising the Lord today. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. A word for this morning, I will rejoice in the Lord. I will joy in the God of my salvation. And all I can say is it's right on point, right on time. It is a word from God. I will rejoice in the Lord. I will joy in the God of my salvation, Mother. I can only say thank you, God. You know, that we are back all together, Blog Talk, as well as our conference call. We are blogging and conferencing. And so for those that come in on Blog Talk Radio, many of you do come in on the blog. We have had a lot of technical difficulties. They have sent out notes to apologize for live shows not being able to go forth. I even have a note. This morning, we are currently experiencing an issue with our live broadcast system. Our engineers are working to fix the issue quickly. Well, I'm grateful to God that the issue was resolved with our show, but I understand that there's many other live shows that are not going forth because of technical problems. But God has given us an alternative, and we will continue to use our free conference call number every day that we are on. We will also blog. Yes, we will. But we will use our conference call as well. So, again, we are doing both. And for those that are Blog Talk Radio listeners, for you, if you would like to join us on our conference call line instead of on the Blog Talk Radio, when you cannot get us, our number is 701-791-9959. Again, our conference number that we will also be on as well as Blog Talk is 701-791-9959. We will be transitioning to conference call, so we can open it up and praise God all together. But we are still blog talking, and we're still going to be blogging for a while. And the number again is 701-791-9959. We will be conference calling for the rest of the year because God's word is going to go forth whether Blog Talk does or not. We have got to do what God called us to do. So I say this morning, good morning, everybody. Good morning, Mother Valerie. How are you this lovely morning?
It's a beautiful morning. I'm blessed. Temperature is 45 degrees.
Woo, that's nice.
Right now.
That's very nice.
Beautiful.
Beautiful. It's correct. That's going to be a good day.
Amen.
It's going to be a real good day. Hallelujah. But I think it's supposed to rain, though. But it doesn't matter because we know what rain does, just like our tears. It cleanses. So thanking God for the cleansing. Mother Valerie, we got some word today. Everybody, get the Bible, because this is what? Bible study. And we are going to be interactive. You know, we have three books this morning. We got a lot in this Old Testament word. And we're in the, what they call the minor prophets. But today we are in the book of Nahum, and what I will do is introduce each book as we get to it. So Mother Valerie is going to read Nahum, the whole book, and part of Habakkuk. But before she gets into Habakkuk, I'm actually going to go ahead and give you Nahum and Habakkuk so you'll have a Baku, so you'll have both overview, so that we'll be able to continue in our work. And I will also give you Zephaniah when I get to Zephaniah. So it says the author of Nahum. It says the book of the vision of Nahum of Elkanah. Nahum either wrote the prophecies or dictated them to another. And it was done about 663 to 612 B.C. And it says in 10 words or less, we're going to talk about Nahum. Powerful, wicked Nineveh will fall before God's judgment. And we already know that Jonah prophesied in Nineveh and saved them. He saved them from destruction. And now God has said, okay, they went backwards. So they're about to go. They're about to be destroyed. And this is what the detailed pleas of Nahum said. Woe to the bloody city, Nahum cries. Nineveh, capital of the brutal Assyrian Empire, has been targeted for judgment by God himself, who will make thee vile and will set thee as a grazing stock. But sin of idolatry and cruelty, Nahum's prophecy comes true when the Babylonian Empire overruns Nineveh. So the Babylonians take over Nineveh. And again, Jonah, who prophesied and hated it because he knew that God would relent, was upset with them. And that was probably about 100 and some change years before Nahum. Nineveh, over the course of a century, went back to their wicked ways, cruelty and idolatry, you know, where they were worshiping God. And they survived for a century and then lost their mind and went backwards. And that's why we have to be very careful that we don't go backwards, that we continue moving forward. And it says a quotable from this book is, the Lord is slow to anger and great in power and will not at all acquit the wicked. He will not acquit the wicked. And it says the Lord is good, a stronghold in the day of trouble. And he knoweth them and trusts in him. We trust God. We trust in the Lord. We give God our best praise. We give God every part of who we are because he is God. And the one thing we can bank on is that he loves us and that he cares for us and that he will always be there watching over his children. That's just how he is, just what he does. He loves us like that. And all we can say is thank you, God, for your grace. Thank you, God, for your mercy. Thank you, God, for your glory. Because we want to move forward with the Lord. We want to go where God sends us and do what God tells us to do. I will rejoice in the Lord. I will joy in the God of my salvation. And it says the unique about Nahum. And it says Nahum is, and I say Nahum, that he is a kind of Jonah, part two. I love it. Jonah, part two. Though the city had once avoided God's judgment by taking Jonah's preaching to heart and repenting, now more than a century later, it will experience the full consequences of its sin. You know, Jonah reluctantly saved them with his prophecy. And Nahum has to come back and say, y'all messed up, gonna get destroyed. And it says, so what? Even the most powerful city on earth is no match for God's strength. Neither is the biggest problem in our individual lives. God can move mountains. God can do everything. All we have to do is believe. All we have to do is know that he is God and that he is in charge of everything. And as we continue in the word, it says in Habakkuk, and it says in Habakkuk, nothing is known of his background, the author. He was approximately 600 B.C., so he's around the same time as Nahum. And it says in 10 words or less, trust God even when he seems unresponsive or unfair. Woo! We've all been through. But we know when we trust in the Lord, praise him today. I can say that. I've been going through some stuff. But God, many who have been with us know that a week or so ago, I could barely talk. Thank you, God, for Mother Valley.
Mm-hmm.
Could barely talk. Could stop coughing. Just filled up with mucus. I'm just being honest. Just had a mess. But God, you know, some will say, oh, well, the antibiotics. No, it was God. It was God that did it. Cover up. If you're sick, stay home. Why make everybody else sick too? You know, I was exposed to COVID. I was exposed to all kinds of stuff. But I didn't get COVID. Instead, I got a sinus infection and an ear infection that went into bronchitis. And I'm going to tell you, bronchitis is worse than anything you could ever imagine because you cannot breathe. It messes with your lungs, your bronchial tubes. So all you can do is cough and pray to God, Lord, get all this stuff out of my system. And I thank God for answered prayers. I thank you all for praying for me. I thank you for that. And I praise God for that. And I pray for you as you pray for me. And as we go in our word, it says, and in Judah, a prophet complains that God allows violence and injustice among his people. That's not there. That's all over. They're supposed to complain today for the same reason. But Rebecca, who is shocked to learn the Lord's plan for dealing with the problem, sending the bitter and hasty Chaldeans to punish Judah, Rebecca argues that the Chaldeans are far worse than the disobedient Jews, telling God, thou art to behold evil. The Lord, however, says he's only using the Chaldeans for his purposes and will in time punish them for their own sins. It's not Habakkuk's job to question God. It's not our job to question God. It wasn't his job, and it is not our job. And it says, the Lord is in his holy temple. Let all the earth keep silence before him. That's one of my favorite scriptures, Habakkuk 2 and 20. And it says Habakkuk, like Job, ultimately submits to God's authority. He had to submit to God's authority. Job was reluctant. He didn't want to. He did not want to prophesy in Nineveh because he knew that if they changed their ways, God would not destroy them. But then it took them a century to go backwards instead of going forward. We don't want to go backwards, family. We got to go forward. We got to move in the will of God. The quotable. The just shall live by faith. Now you know where that comes from. Now you know where that comes from. That comes from Habakkuk. The just shall live by faith. Habakkuk 2 and 4. I will joy in the God of my salvation. That's part of our title this morning. And that's Habakkuk 3 and 18. Unique and unusual about this word. The Apostle Paul quotes Habakkuk 2 and 4, which is, I will... the just shall live by faith. Paul quotes this scripture in his powerful gospel presentation in Romans 1. And it goes on to say, so what? Our world is much like a backwards, full of violence and injustice. But God is still in control. Whether we sense it or not, he's working out his own purposes. We've got to understand that God is in charge of everything. He's got us covered. And when we go to Zephaniah, Zephaniah was written by the prophet Zephaniah. And it was written, again, all of these guys are around the same time, approximately 645 to 620 B.C., during the reign of King Josiah. And Josiah wanted to change things. He was a good little king, 8 years old when he came to be the king. But then, and he changed. But it tells us this. It says, a coming day of the Lord promises heavy judgment. Zephaniah begins with a jarring prophecy. I will utterly consume all things from off the land. God declares in the book's second verse, people, animals, birds, and fish will all perish, victims of God's wrath over Judah's idolatry. Other nearby nations will be punished as well in the fire of my jealousy. Zephaniah 3 and 8. But there is hope in his mercy. God will one day restore a remnant of Israel that shall not do iniquity nor speak lies. Chapter 3, verse 13. Quotable, the great day of the Lord is near and hastens greatly. Zephaniah 1 and 14. The Lord thy God in the midst of thee is mighty. He will save, he will rejoice over thee with joy. Zephaniah 3:17. And it goes on to tell us, Zephaniah gives more detail about himself than most of the minor prophets, identifying himself as a great-great-grandson of Hezekiah. He's a descendant of a king. Verses 1 and 1. And it says, probably the popular godly king of Judah, 2 Chronicles 29. God gave, so what about Zephaniah? God gave the people of Judah fair warning of his judgment, just as he has done with us. For Christians, the coming day of the Lord carries no fear. And that is our overview of the three books that we will be going into this morning. Mother Valerie, I turn it over to you.
Good morning, saints of God. Good morning, people of God. Father God, in Jesus' name, I want to thank and praise you for who you are. For this is the day that you made, and we shall rejoice and be glad in it. Lord, it's just a beautiful day. The temperature is warm, and if anybody has to go out, God, we just thank you. We thank you for all that you do, will do, and have done. Yes. Bless our pastors, the Table of Life Ministries, and we just give you praise. For you did it again. You did it again. You woke us up, God. And we are grateful. We say hallelujah. And we are very, very, very grateful and thankful for sweet. You did it again. In Jesus' name, bless your word as it goes forth. Nahum 1:3-19. The burden against Nineveh, the book of the vision of Nahum, the Elkoshite, God is jealous. And the Lord avenged. The Lord avenged and is furious. Lord will take vengeance on his act of fury. And he reserves wrath for his enemies. The Lord is slow to anger, greed and power, and will not at all acquit the wicked. The Lord has his way in the whirlwind and in the storm, and the clouds are the dust of his feet. He rebukes the sea, makes it dry. Dries up all the rivers, Basham and Carmel wither, the flower of Lebanon wilt, the mountains speak before him, the hills melt, and the earth sees at his presence. Yet the world and all who dwell in it, who can stand before his indignation, and who can endure the fierceness of his anger? His fury is bound out by fire. Rocks are thrown down by him. The Lord is good, stronghold in the day of trouble, and he knows those who trust in him. But with an overflowing flood, he will make an utter end of his place. Darkness will pursue his enemies. What do you conspire against the Lord? You make an utter end of it. Affliction will not rise up a second time. For while tangled like thorns, while drunken like drunkards, they shall be devoured like stubble, furiously dried. For you come forth one who talks evil against the Lord, a wicked counselor. Thus says the Lord, though they are safe and likewise many, yet in this manner they will be cut down. And he says to Susan, though I have afflicted you, I will afflict you no more. For now I will break off this yoke from you and burst your bonds apart. Lord has given a command concerning you. Your name shall be put separate no longer out of the house of your God. I will cut off the carved images and the molded image. I will dig your grave, for you are vile. Behold, on the mountains, the feet of him who brings good tidings, who proclaims peace. O Judah, keep your appointed feast, perform your vows, for the wicked one shall no more pass through you. He is utterly cut off. Chapter 2. He who scatters has come up before your face. Man the fort, watch the road, strengthen your flank, fortify your power mightily, for the Lord will restore the excellence of Jacob, like the excellence of Israel. For the impious have emptied them out and ruined their vine branches. Fields of the mighty men are made red. That when men are in scarlet, the colors come with flaming torches in the day of his separation. Spears or branches, the chariots raised in the streets. They jostle one another in the broad road. They seem like torches. They run like lightning. He remembers his nobles. They stumble in their walk. They make haste to the walls, and the defense is prepared. Gates of the rivers are open, and the palace is dissolved. It is decreed. She shall be led away captive. She shall be brought up, and her maidservants shall lead her as with the voice of those beating their breath. The humidity of old was like a pool of water. Now they flee away. How they cry, but no one turns back. Take spoil of city, take spoil of gold. There is no end of treasure or wealth of every desirable class. He's empty, desolate, and waste. The heart melts and the knees shake. Much pain is on every side, and all the face is a grain of color. Where is the dwelling of the lions and the feeding place of the young lions? Where the lions walk, the lioness and club, and no one makes them afraid? The lion tore in pieces enough for her club, steel for her lioness, steel her cage is prey, and her dance is flesh. Behold, I'm against you, says the Lord of hosts. I will burn your chariots in smoke, and the sword shall devour your young lives. I will cut off your prey from the earth, and the voice of your messengers shall be heard no more. Woe to the bloody city. It's all full of lies and robbery. His victim never departs. The noise of a whip and the noise of rattling wheels, of galloping horses and clattering chariots, horsemen charged with bright swords and glittery spear. There is a multitude of slain, a great number of bodies. Countless corpses. They stumble over the corpses because of the multitude of horses, of the seduced harlots. The mistress of sorcery, who sells nations through her horses and families through her sorcery. Behold, I'm against you. Behold, I am against you, said Lord of hosts. I will lift your skirts over your face. I will show the nation your nakedness and the kingdom your shame. I will cast abomination filth upon you, make you vile, and make you a spectacle. It shall come to pass that all who look upon you will flee from you and say, Nineveh is laid waste. Who will bemoan her? Where shall I seek comfort for you? Are you better than no almond that was took away by the river? They had the waters around her, whose rampart was the sea, whose walls were the sea. Ethiopia and Egypt were her strength, and it was boundless. Put in Lebanon were your heifers, yet she was carried away. She went into captivity. Young children also were dashed to pieces. At the head of every street, they cast lots for her honorable men. All her great men were bound in chains, who also will be drunk. You will be kidden. You also will seek refuge from the enemy. All your strongholds are fig trees with ripened figs. If they are shaken, they fall into the mouth of the eater. Surely your people in your midst hold in them. The gates of your land are wide open for your enemies. Fire shall devour the bars of your gate. Draw your water for the sea. Fortify your strongholds. Go into the city. Tread the mortar. Make strong the brick. Through the fire will devour you. The sword will cut you off. It will eat you up like a locust. Make yourself many like the locust. Make yourself many like the swarming locust. You have multiplied your mercies more than the stars of heaven. The locust plunders flies away. Your commanders are like swarming locusts, and your dinners like great grasshoppers, counting the edges on a cold day. When the sun rises, they flee away, and the place where they are is not known. Your shepherd is slumber, old king of Assyria, your nobles rest in the dust. People are scattered on the mountains, and no one gathers them. You, your injury has no healing, your wound is severe. Your wound is severe. Habakkuk 1:1-3:19. The burden which the prophet Habakkuk saw, O Lord, How long shall I cry? And you will not hear, even cry out to you, violence. You will not say, why do you show me iniquity, cause me to see trouble? For plundering and violence are before me. Their strife, contentions arise. Therefore, the law is powerless. Justice never goes forth. For the wicked surround the righteous. Therefore, perverse judgment succeeds. Look among the nations and watch. Be utterly astonished. For I will work a work in your days which you would not believe, though it was told you. And indeed, I'm raising up the 10 years, a bitter and hasty nation that marches through the breadth of the earth to possess dwelling places so that not theirs. They are terrible, dreadful, in judgment and their dignity to see from themselves. Their horses also swifter than leopards, more furious than even wolves. They charge ahead. The cavalry comes from afar. They fly as the eagle that hastens to eat. They all come for violence, just like the east wind. They gather captives like sand. They scope at kings. Princes are scorned by them. They divide every stronghold, or they heap up earthen mounds and seize it. Then his mind changes and he transgresses. He commits offense, ascribing this power to his God. Are you not from everlasting, O Lord, my God, my Holy One? We shall not die. O Lord, you have appointed them for justice. O Rock, you have marked them for corruption. You are of pure eyes and to behold evil and cannot look on wickedness. Why do you look on those who deal treacherously? Hold your tongue when the wicked devours a person more righteous than he. Why do you make men like fish of the sea, like creeping things that have no ruler over them? They cut all of them with a hook. They catch them in their net and gather them in their dragnet. Therefore, they rejoice and are glad. Therefore, their sacrifice to their net, burn incense to their dragnet that goes by them. Their share is sumptuous and their food is plentiful. Shall they therefore empty their net and continue to slay nations without pity? And continue to slay nations without pity. I will stand my watch and set myself on the rampart and watch to see what he will say to me and what I will answer when I am corrected. Then the Lord answered me and said, write the vision, make it plain on tablets, that he may run who reads it. For the vision is yet for an appointed time, but at the end it will speak and it will not lie. Though it perish, wait for it, because it will surely come. It will not perish. Behold the child, his soul is not upright in him, but the just shall live by his faith. Indeed, it says the just shall live by believing in God. The just shall live by his faith. Indeed, because he transgressed by wine, he's a proud man, does not stay at home, because he enlarged his desire as hell, and he is like death and cannot be satisfied. Gathers to himself all nations, for himself all people. Will not all these take up a proverb against him and a toying riddle against him and say, woe to him who increased. What is not his, how long? And to him who loathes himself with many pleasures, will not your creditors rise up suddenly? Will they not awaken to oppose you? And you will come their booty, because you have plundered many nations. All the resting of the people shall plunder you, because of men's blood, violence of the land and the city, and all who dwell in it. Woe to him who converts evil gain for his house, that he may set his nest on high, that he may be delivered from the power of the disaster. You give shameful counsel to your house, cutting off many people, sin against your soul. For the stone will cry out from the wall, and the beam from the temple will answer it. Woe to him who builds the town with blood debt, establishes the city by iniquity. Behold, it is not of the Lord of hosts, that the people labor to feed the fire and masons worry themselves in vain? For the earth would be filled with the knowledge of the glory of the Lord, and the waters cover the sea. Woe to him who gives drink to his neighbor. Woe to him who gives drink to his neighbor, pressing him to your bottle, even to make him drunk, that you may look on his nakedness. You are filled with fame, instead of glory, you also drink, and be exposed as uncircumcised. The cup of the Lord's right hand will be turned against you. Utter shame will be on your glory, for the violent 7-11 will cover you. Plunder the beast which made them afraid because of men's blood, and the violence of the land and the city, and of all who dwell in it. What prophet is the image that is maker to cause it? The molded image, a teacher of lies, that the maker of its molds trusts in it to make me idle? Woe to him who says to wood, arise! The silent stone, arise, it shall keep. Behold, it is overlaid with gold and silver. Yet it is there's no breath at all. But the Lord is in his holy temple, that all the earth keeps silent before him. My Lord and my God, Habakkuk was really talking. I mean, really, really talking. In Habakkuk chapter 3, a prayer.
I got that. Mother, I have that. I have Habakkuk chapter 3.
Yes. Going back to some of life's blessings.
Yes.
I mean, Habakkuk was really talking. Habakkuk 2 and 4. The just shall live by his faith, and his faith is believing in Almighty God. It says the just shall live by his faith. Why does God contrast pride with faith? Because, as S.C. Lewis noted, pride is completely anti-God, state of mind. Faith, on the other hand, looks to God for everything. God seeks worshipers, not rivals. We have to believe in them, and we just have to continue to believe in God, have faith in God, that just shall live by his faith. Habakkuk 1:13. Why do you hold your tongue when the wicked devours the person more than righteous than he? We might prefer a world where God instantly judged every wrong, but this is not the world we have. Yet in his time, he will certainly judge all evil and reward all good. It's in God's timing, and we don't know exactly when it's going to happen, but we just need to wait for God. We can't appease God. We're not God, and we can't make God do things that we want him to do. God is Father. He's Abba. He's God. We're not. Habakkuk 2:2, write the vision, make it plain on tablets, that we may run to read. God told Jeremiah, write in the book for yourself all the words that I've spoken to you. He also instructs Israel king to copy his words. Why? It's simple. We remember what we write down, and that's the truth. A lot of times I have to write down. Pastors have given us a book where we can write things down and plan things. If you write it down, you can go back and look in the book, and you will remember. Like if you're taking notes when you're at the Bible study, you can go back and look, and a lot of times say, what did Pastor teach? I don't know. But if you will write it down and somebody asks you, well, what was the pastor teaching on, you can go back and look. Write it down. Try to remember. And that's a good thing, too, is to write things down, and you'll be able to remember a lot of things. Then Psalm 3:19, your injury has no healing. Your wound is severe. Those who refuse to come to God for the spiritual healing will never be healed. We were made for intimacy with God and to seek a cure for spiritual wounds. Apart from God is to seek forcing not medicine. Oh, my goodness. We have to come to God for our healing. And when you do, look forward in heaven for God's 39 stripes for the healing of the nation.
Yeah.
Great is the Lord. Everything is with own Jesus. And healing is in the Bible. So if you believe it, it is so. Nahum 2:13. Behold, I'm against you. Oh, we. You never want to hear God say to you, I am against you. God to say, I am against you. Behold, I am against you. For God opposed in misery and destruction. For God supports in joy and blessing. Remember, obedience always brings blessing. Disobedience and sin simply makes no sense. No one ever gets away with anything. And everyone will stand before God to give an account of themselves. So why not choose obedience and blessing? If obedience is better than sacrifice, you need to obey God. I mean, you do wrong and you think you're getting by because he don't judge you right then and there. But you will be judged. You're going to be judged one day. A lot of people don't believe in judgment day. But it's going to happen whether you believe it or don't believe it. Whether you believe you're going to die or don't believe you're going to die, well, one day you will die. It's whether you believe it. You don't have to believe it. It's going to happen. Because God said, whatever God says is going to happen, will happen. So this is going to happen. Nahum 3:14, fortify your stronghold. God does not always plead with rebels to repent. The time comes and they reach a point of no return. Pharaoh did this. Assyria did this. And some still do. But you don't have to. I mean, there will come a time where there's no return. But you don't have to. You can repent. Ask God to forgive you of all your wrongs. Just repent. You know that you do wrong, so ask God to forgive you. You don't want God to be against you. God to be against you, Nahum 1 and 2. The Lord of Dan and is serious. God will not share our devotion with anyone else. In fact, he tells us his name is Joab. And warning us against dual allegiance, the New Testament asks, do we provoke the Lord to jealousy? Well, when you bow down to a calf and bow down to something that you made with your own hands, you're provoking the Lord God. You're provoking him to jealousy. Don't do that. You don't want God, not Almighty God, to be against you. You don't want to fall into the hands of a jealous God or an angry God. You really don't. You don't want to do that. I'm going to turn this back over to Pastor Bridget.
Amen. Mother, that's on point. We don't want to fall into the hands of a jealous God. Whew, what a word. What a word this morning. And we're going to go back into Habakkuk chapter 3, and then we're just going to continue into Zephaniah, and at the end, as Mother Valerie has done, we'll go back to life principles, life lessons, if time permits. And it says this in Habakkuk chapter 3. It's a prayer. A prayer of Habakkuk to the prophet on the Shigionot. And it says, oh, Lord, I have heard your speech and was afraid. Oh, Lord, revive your work in the midst of the years. In the midst of the years, make it known in wrath, remember mercy. God came from Teman, the Holy One from Mount Paran. His glory covered the heavens, and the earth was full of his praise. His brightness was like the light. He had rays flashing from his hand, and there his power was hidden. Before him went pestilence, and fever followed at his feet. He stood and measured the earth. He looked and startled the nations. and the everlasting mountains were scattered. The perpetual hills bowed, his ways are everlasting. I saw the tents of Kishon in affliction. The curtains of the land of Midian trembled. O Lord, were you displeased with the rivers? Was your anger against the rivers? Was your wrath against the sea that you rode on your horses like chariots of salvation? Your bow was made quite ready. Oath was sworn over your arrows. You divided the earth with rivers. The mountains saw you and trembled. The overflowing of the waters passed by. The deep uttered its voice and lifted its hands on high. The sun and moon stood still in their habitation. At the light of your arrows they went. At the shining of your glittering spear, you marched through the land in indignation. You trampled the nations in anger. You went forth for the salvation of your people, for salvation with your anointed. You struck the head from the house of the wicked, by lying there from foundation to neck, Selah. You thrust through with his own arrows the head of his villages. They came out like a whirlwind to scatter me. Their rejoicing was like feasting on the poor in secret. You walked through the sea with your horses, through the heap of great waters. When I heard, my body trembled. My lips quivered at the voice. Rottenness entered my bones. And I trembled in myself that I might rest in the day of trouble when he comes up to the people. We will invade them with his truth. Fig tree may not blossom, nor fruit be on the vine, though the labor of the olive may fail, and the fields yield no food, though the flock may be cut off from the fold, and there be no herd in the stall. Yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will joy in the God of my salvation. That is our title for this morning. And I got to say it one more time, Mother. Yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will joy in the God of my salvation. The Lord God is my strength. He will make my feet like deer's feet. And he will make me walk on my high heels. To the chief musician with my stringed instrument. We got to praise God. We got to praise God. I will rejoice in the Lord. I will joy in the God of my salvation. Zephaniah chapter 1. The word of the Lord which came to Zephaniah, the son of Tisha, the son of Gedaliah, the son of Amariah, the son of Hezekiah in the days of Josiah, the son of Ammon, king of Judah. I will utterly consume everything from the face of the land, says the Lord. I will consume man and beast. I will consume the birds of the heavens, the fish of the sea, and the stumbling blocks along with the wicked. I will cut off man from the face of the land, says the Lord. I will stretch out my hand against Judah and against all the inhabitants of Jerusalem. I will cut off every trace of Baal from this place. The names of the idolatrous priests with the pagan priests, those who worship the host of heaven on the housetop, those who worship and swear oaths by the Lord, but who also swear by Malcolm, which is the demon. Those who have turned back from following the Lord and have not sought the Lord, not inquired of him. God is saying, hey, I got y'all. If you don't want to believe in me, I got you. Come on now.
Amen.
Idolatrous priests with pagan priests. Those who worship the host of heaven on the housetop. Oh, I just worship a higher power. Okay. All right. Can we say the name? Woo. mother was praising him yesterday. Yahweh be
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Yahweh.
Yahweh. And it said, be silent in the presence of the Lord God. For the day of the Lord is at hand, for the Lord has prepared a sacrifice. He has invited his guests. And it shall be in the day of the Lord's sacrifice that I will punish the princes and the king's children and all such as are clothed with foreign apparel. In the same day I will punish all those who leap over that threshold, who fill their master's houses with violence and deceit. And there shall be on that day, says the Lord, the sound of a mournful cry from the fish gate, a wailing from the second quarter, and a loud crashing from the hills. Wail, you inhabitants of Michmash, for all the merchant people are cut down. All those who handle the money are cut off. And it shall come to pass at that time that I will search Jerusalem with lamps and punish the men who are settled in complacency, who say in their heart, the Lord will not do good, nor will he do evil. Therefore, their good shall become booty, and their houses of desolation. They shall build houses, but not inhabit them. They shall plant vineyards, but not drink their wine. The great day of the Lord is near. It is near and hastens quickly. The noise of the day of the Lord is bitter. There the mighty men shall cry out. That day is a day of wrath, a day of trouble and distress, a day of devastation and desolation, a day of darkness and gloominess, a day of clouds and thick darkness, a day of trumpet and alarm against the fortified cities, against the high towers. Mother, you think we read the Revelation?
My
I will
Lord,
bring
my
distress
Lord.
Upon men, and they shall walk like blind men, because they have sinned against the Lord. Their blood shall be poured out like dust, and their flesh like refuge. Neither their silver nor their gold shall be able to deliver them in the day of the Lord's wrath, but the whole land shall be devoured by the fire, devoured by the fire of his jealousy. But he will make speedy riddance all those who dwell in the land. Fire.
My Lord.
And that's what it says the next time. Fire.
Fire.
Zephaniah is preaching that Revelation's word. And it says, gather yourselves together, chapter 2. O undesirable nation, before the decree is issued or the day passes like chaff, before the Lord's fierce anger comes upon you, before the day of the Lord's anger comes upon you, seek the Lord, all you meek of the earth, who have upheld his justice. Seek righteousness. Seek humility. It may be that you will be hidden in the day of the Lord's anger, but Gaza shall be forsaken. Oh, what did it say? Listen to this word.
Yeah.
It's almost like he's preaching today. For Gaza shall be forsaken. And we know what's going on right now in Gaza.
Amen.
And it says, an Ashkelon desolate. They shall drive out Ashdod at noonday, and Ekron shall be uprooted. Woe to the inhabitants of the seacoast, the nation of the Sherites. The word of the Lord is against you, O Canaan, land of the Philistines, which is currently Palestine. I will destroy you, so there shall be no inhabitants. The seacoast shall be pastures with shelters for shepherds and folds for flocks. The coast shall be for the remnant of the house of Judah. They shall feed their flocks there. In the houses of Ashkelon they shall lie down at evening, for the Lord their God will intervene for them and return their captives. I have heard the reproach of Moab and the insults of the people of Ammon, with which they have reproached my people and made arrogant threats against the borders. Therefore, as I live, says the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, surely Moab shall be like Sodom, and the people of Ammon like Gomorrah, overrun with weeds and salt pits and perpetual desolation. The residue of my people shall plunder them, and the remnant of my people shall possess them. This they shall have for their pride, because they have reproached and made arrogant threats against the people of the Lord of hosts. The Lord will be awesome to them, for he will reduce to nothing all the gods of the earth. People shall worship him, each one from his place. Indeed, all the shores of the nations. You Ethiopians also, you shall be slain by my sword. And he will stretch out his hand against the north, destroy Assyria, and make Nineveh a desolation, as dry as the wilderness. The herd shall lie down in her midst, every beast of the nation, both the pelican and the bittern, shall lodge on the capitals of her pillars. Their voices shall sing in the windows. Desolation shall be at the threshold, for he will lie there the cedar work. This is the rejoicing city that dwells securely, that said in her heart, I am it, and there is none beside me. Be careful,
my
Mary.
Lord.
How has she become a desolation, a place for beasts to lie down? Everyone who passes by her shall hiss and shake his head. Chapter 3 of Zephaniah. Woe to her who is rebellious and polluted, to the oppressing city. She has not obeyed his voice. She has not received correction. She has not trusted in the Lord. She has not drawn near to her God. Her princes in her midst are roaring lions. Her judges are evening wolves that leave not a bone till morning. Their prophets are insolent, treacherous people. Her priests have polluted the sanctuary. Ooh. They have done violence to the law. The Lord is righteous in her midst. He will do no unrighteousness. Every morning he brings his justice to life. He never fails, but the unjust know no shame. I have cut off nations. Their fortresses are devastated. I have made their streets desolate with none passing by. Their cities are destroyed. There is no one, no inhabitant. I said, surely you will fear me. You will receive instruction so that her dwelling would not be cut off. Despite everything for which I punished her, but they rose early and corrupted all their deeds. Therefore, wait for me,
my Lord,
says the Lord, until the day I rise up for plunder. My determination is to gather the nations to my assembly of kingdoms, to pour on them my indignation, all my fierce anger. All the earth shall be the voice with the fire of my jealousy. But then I will restore to the people a pure language, that they all may call on the name of the Lord, to serve him with one accord. From beyond the rivers of Ethiopia, my worshipers, the daughter of my dispersed ones shall bring me my offering. In that day you shall not be shamed for any of the deeds in which you transgressed against me. But then I will take away from your midst those who rejoice in your pride. And you shall no longer be haughty in my holy mountain. I will leave in your midst a meek and humble people. And they shall trust in the name of the Lord. The remnant of Israel shall do no unrighteousness and speak no lies. Nor shall a deceitful tongue be found in their mouth. But they shall feed their flock and lie down. And no one shall make them afraid. Single daughter of Zion, shout, O Israel. Be glad and rejoice with all your heart, O daughter of Jerusalem. The Lord has taken away your judgments. He has cast out your enemy. The king of Israel, the Lord, is in your midst. You shall see disaster no more. In that day it shall be said to Jerusalem, do not fear. Zion, let not your hands be weak. The Lord your God is in your midst. The mighty one will save. He will rejoice over you with gladness. He will quiet you with his love. He will rejoice over you with singing. I will gather those who sorrow over the appointed assembly, who are among you, to whom it reproach is a burden. Behold, at that time, I will deal with all who afflict you. I will save the lame and gather those who are driven out. I will appoint them for praise and fame in every land where they were put to shame. At that time, I will bring you back, even at the time I gather you, for I will give you fame and praise among all the people of the earth when I return your captives before your eyes. Yes, Lord. Whew.
Whew. Amen.
What a powerful word.
My Lord.
And I'm going to go to this life question. How can I endure in my faith during hard times? You are God's masterpiece, and he has given you his word as a testimony to the love and joy he has for you. Zephaniah 3:17 says, the Lord your God is in your midst. The mighty one will save. He will rejoice over you with gladness. He will quiet you with his love. He will rejoice over you with singing. God rejoices over you, though he knows you are in the process of becoming all that he has planned for you to become. You are not yet what you will be when you step into the eternal presence of God. 1 Corinthians 13:12, 1 John 3:2. Until that time, God is patiently molding and shaping all of us into the image of his Son. We will never have a reason to give up. Galatians 6:9. We are not alone. Jesus is with us, cheering us on to victory. He is at our side to strengthen and encourage us. When we fix our eyes on him and not on our circumstances, he will bring to life differently. He will bring us, we will begin to see life differently. Instead of thinking negatively, no stinking thinking. The Holy Spirit will teach us to think about the things of God, pure thought, over and over to love us. He walks with us through disappointment and is never disillusioned by our wayward acts. He has seen the finished portrait. While on our own, we can do nothing. He knows that through Christ, we can do and will succeed. Through Christ, I can do all things. Through Christ, he's strengthened.
Yes, Lord. Yes.
4:13. This does not mean that you won't suffer, that I won't suffer or feel pain. Jesus endured both, and yet he did not give up on us. He knew that in order to complete his mission, he would have to endure until the end, and he wanted more than anything else to accomplish the Father's will. How could he possibly bear the weight of all our sins and still remain victorious? God is given an eternal perspective long before it happened. Jesus saw the resurrection as a completed fact. And after 3 days, he rose again from the grave to walk in victory. God gives us such victory through the presence of the Holy Spirit. We can walk in victory because Jesus is our example, and his Spirit lives in each and every one of us. Like colors on an artist's palette of hopelessness and even temptation. And even temptation to bring us closer to himself. We got to trust God. We got to believe that all is well in our life. Keep God first in everything that we do and watch him work in our life. I am just grateful today. We did not get a word from Sister Carolyn this morning, but I want to say this, and this is a word from yesterday that I want to share with all of you. As we go through this weekend, this holy weekend of Christmas, and it says, stop giving people the power to control your happiness. Don't worry about if you got a gift, didn't get a gift. Don't worry about it because you got the best. Your worth and value is determined by God. And we're going to have a faith-filled Friday. We're going to rejoice in the Lord for our joy in the God of my salvation. God has given us the best thing we could ever have. He has given us the gift of his Son. Unmute your phones, family. We're not worried about what Blog Talk is saying. We're going to unmute our phones, and we're going to give God praise as we come out, go out this morning. We're going to let everybody Amen. Know how good God is,
Amen.
That he is absolute, that he is the love of our heart, of our hearts and minds. We lift our hands, and we rejoice in God, but he reigns forever and ever. He is God, and he loves us more than we could ever set or ever think. I just want to tell God, thank you this morning. There's nobody like God. Give me Jesus.
Thank you.
Give me the Lord everything because he is that good. Thank God this morning for his grace. Thank God for his blessings. Thank God that he loves us more than we could ever imagine. Lord God, I give you grace. I give you honor. And I just thank you this morning. I thank you, Lord God, for you are doing greatly to be praised. Tell God thank you today.
Amen.
Tell God thank you.
Thank you,
what
Lord.
A mighty God he is.
Thank you, Lord.
That he is our one and only. That we give him all of us as he has given us all of him. Thank God.
Tell Amen.
God thank you. Hallelujah.
Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Lord,
Lord,
for another day. Thank you, Lord, for your grace and your mercy. Thank you, Lord. Whew, hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Thank you,
hallelujah.
Lord. Thank you.
Hallelujah.
Thank you, Lord.
I believe that Minister Shannon is on this morning. Sister Shannon, are you on this morning with us?
Have a time Christmas day when...
I'm not hearing Minister Shannon. I thought that she was on today. But we're going to shake God. We're going to tell God. We're going to shake the foundation is what I meant to say. And we're going to just say, God, we love you. God, we love you. God, we praise you. God, we give you each and every part of us. For you are Elohim.
Yes.
You are Jehovah Jireh. You are our provider. You are absolute. You are God, and we are your humble servants, and we can only say thank you.
Yes.
Thank you,
Lord.
Thank you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Thank you.
We're going to go out and pray this morning. We're going to go out and pray this morning. And I just
Amen. Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah.
Thank you.
Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Lord. Yes.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Yes, God. Yes.
We go before the throne of faith, Father God. We thank you for this.
Oh, yes, Lord.
We thank you for your love today. We ask you, Father God, as we lift up the name of Jesus, that we never forget your sacrifice, God. That you love us more than we could ever imagine. You loved us more than we could ever love ourselves. We go before your throne, God. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Yes, God.
To seek your wisdom, God.
Hallelujah.
Yes, God.
Yes. Yes, God.
Thank you, Jesus.
No more
of that. Yes, Lord.
Now in your way.
Thank you, Jesus. Yes, God.
Yes.
Thank you, Lord. We bow. Hallelujah.
Glory.